So as we were speaking at Govindakund about how after Indra realized his mistake, he was feeling very bad. In fact, it is said that Indra felt so bad that he couldn't find any peace in anything that he did. He didn't know how to get out of the danger of the mistake that he had made in offending so many of Krishna's most intimate companions and friends and family members. So he was very, very morose, and he didn't see any way to achieve any freedom from this. And one day Brihaspati, he came to see Indra, and he saw his condition. So he took him aside and he spoke to him. And he explained to him that even though you have 1,000 eyes, you haven't been able to see properly. You haven't been able to understand that you have offended the residents of Vrindavan, and they are maintained by Krishna himself, and Krishna is our maintainer. So you have made a terrible mistake. So Indra said to his guru, so how can I get out of this great danger that I have found myself in? And Brihaspati said to him, you should go to Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is so powerful. He's the chief of the demigods. Go and speak to him and tell him your predicament. So then Indra went to Lord Brahma, and when he arrived and bowed down before Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma said to him, actually, you have committed very serious Vaishnava aparat, and there's nothing that I can do to help you. You've made such a terrible mistake. But what I do suggest to you is that you go and you find Surabhi Devi and you fall at her feet. And you beg her and beg her that if she would go with you to Vrindavan, then she could speak on your behalf to Krishna. So Indra did this. He found Surabhi, and together with Surabhi, because she's motherly and loved by Krishna and loves Krishna so much. So we have to, when we've made a great blunder, we have to find somebody who is very close to Krishna and seek from them, please help me to rectify whatever the difficulty, with another person also with Krishna that we may have accidentally or proudly made. So he did that, and he came with Surabhi here. And meanwhile, at this particular time, Krishna was inspecting, as we said, wandering around Vrindavan, looking at the different places and seeing. Of course, no damage was done whatsoever, but he had made this arrangement to be alone in this region so that Indra could come. So Indra came and he fell at his feet and he bowed before him, and Krishna completely ignored him. He just walked completely away from Indra. So he was feeling very bad. But then Surabhi came forward and she made an appeal on behalf of Indra. So I wanted to read to you the words of Surabhi, but I wanted to wait a little because I was thinking that when we hear them, we should all close our eyes and try to put these words and the whole situation of Indra's offense into a context of our own particular individual situations. If we're thinking as we're sitting here that actually I'm sort of a pretty nice person and, you know, I don't have any real problems with anyone, I don't do anything that's particularly offensive, I'm quite a good person, then we need further insights given to us into the depth and degree of our lack of such attributes, which we can talk about further. But if we already know in our hearts that actually we're really quite unworthy, then we can fall behind Indra and stand behind him in line, and Surabhi can appeal on our behalf. So this Surabhi Kund, Surabhi Devi resides here. She is the predominating deity of this particular place. And it is said that any sinful person who even just glances in the direction of Surabhi Kund, just by accident as they're passing by, can attain devotion just by that. It is considered to be like a beacon of light for the most heinous offenders. And even those who have offended, seriously offended devotees, they can find shelter here by the grace of Surabhi Devi. So, then we will hear Surabhi's what Surabhi said. When she came before Krishna, she bowed at his lotus feet and she said, so you can listen and think if this in any way applies to ourselves. She said, just see this person who is standing behind me. He is always overwhelmed with grief from his anger and offenses, casting his eyes down in shame. He repents for his rude and arrogant actions. Within his mind, he is always rebuking himself. He really wants to be forgiven for his grave offenses to you. But he is afraid to step forward. If you allow him, he will come and submit his petition. So hearing Surabhi Devi's request, Indra, wiping the tears from his thousand eyes, got down from his mountain of false pride. He lay on the ground, surrendering to the Lord, and then he stood up with fear and devotion. He gazed at Krishna's beautiful lotus feet. And now very humbled, because after he had been defeated in his attempt to strike terror into the heart of the residents of Vrindavan, and all he had done was make a fool of himself, because practically no one was disturbed at all. After he had done that, he still had a fighting spirit. He knew he'd done the wrong thing, but he still had this sense that he wanted to stand up for himself. But now, at this point, having come to Surabhi Kund, and being with Surabhi, who is so gentle and so motherly and so full of complete love for Krishna, Indra had now, his heart had become softened, and he very humbly prayed. So he said many things, but this is part of what he had said. He said, my dear Krishna, you are the Lord, the beloved son of the king of Vrindavan. You are the highest truth. It is very difficult for somebody like myself to actually understand you. And those blinded by pride become intoxicated by drinking the wine of their false egos. So how then can they think favorably about your glories? And how can they perceive their own perverted actions? So this is a very important point. How can we even perceive that our activities are very perverse unless we receive the mercy of Krishna, because we are blinded by the intoxication of our false ego? One time Srila Prabhupada himself was explaining why intoxication was very bad, and he explained that you're already intoxicated. The greatest intoxication is this body. And he said to take intoxication on top of that is like becoming doubly intoxicated, so therefore it is very sinful. So here Indra is recognizing this. He's looking at himself in a very deep manner. He says, you are very difficult to know, O dear Krishna, but please, please do not cover us with your illusion. Please be kind to us. So Krishna, in the company of Surabhi Devi, listened to Indra's appeal with tears in his eyes. He was now extremely heartfeltly repentant for his own error. And Krishna looked at him very, very gently. And in a very, very kindly way, he responded, and said, "Is your anger now pacified? Please tell me truthfully. You are very close to me, so do not conceal the mood of your heart. I did not subdue your anger out of revenge or enmity, but I wanted to show how your actions were full of false pride. By nature, I cannot bear to see my own devotees possessed of false pride. It is well known that such persons deserve to be punished by me. My dear Indra," and he can be saying this to us if we're standing behind Indra, painfully aware of our own false pride. He said, "It does not suit you to maintain envy towards me. Now return to Swaga and enjoy your position, but do not become carried away again by your wealth and lose your intelligence." So in this way, Krishna responded to Indra, who approached him through the mercy of Surabhi Devi. Then Indra, very respectfully, he bowed before Krishna and circumambulated him. And then, on the back of his elephant carrier, he left Vrindavan and he returned to the Swagaloka. Meanwhile, Surabhi Devi, she wanted to stay on because she was very, very, very fond of Krishna. So Krishna, it is said, he anointed Surabhi Devi with the fragrance of his pure affection. And then he also bid her farewell, and she returned also to the heavenly planets. So when I was thinking about this presentation and coming to Surabhi Kund, I could remember that many times, many years ago, I have come here with a very intense mood, perhaps due to things that I had heard at that time that was still current in my memory. But as the years go by, we forget so many things. And then when we try to recollect a certain place or a certain situation, we can only vaguely remember. So I found that my thoughts about Surabhi Kund had become sort of distant. And although I still felt this is a place I've had many powerful experiences, they weren't very current in my consciousness. So then I thought to myself that because I've had the experience also oftentimes of going to Kamyavan, where Vrinda Devi resides, and how Vrinda Devi there, she can satisfy the desires of the devotee, especially desires when we wish something that we can't remove from our lives to be removed by help. Vrinda Devi is, she can make the impossible possible. So when I would take a group of devotees on Pikram to Kamyavan, I used to find that the night prior to the Pikram itself, I would have to go into some depth of absorption in the place in order to prepare whatever I was going to say. And at that time, while I was preparing, I myself would have a chance to offer all my prayers at a distance. But as soon as I would get to Kamyavan, then the responsibility was one of stimulating the devotees who were present into having a powerful experience in that place. And so therefore, my own sentiments would become secondary to those of the devotees whom one was serving in that way. And so oftentimes I found that my most powerful experience with Vrinda Devi came the day before, when I was preparing in a very intent mood. So last night, trying to think how to stimulate some, to generate some depth of sentiment in myself in order to share something with all of you who are present, I started by writing down whatever kind of things I thought that I would need to go into if I was to have a deeper experience here, and that by speaking like that, sometimes it triggers off things in the hearts and minds of those who have also had the good fortune to be present. So I wrote different things, and I'll share them with you. But again, I hope that they will just be useful for generating deeper sentiments of prayer here in this very important place. So the special nature of Surabhi Kund is that it's a place that one can come if one has offended or hurt others. Because I find for myself I'm very proud, insensitive, harsh, and careless with others. And yet I find that we cannot see ourselves. We avoid seeing our faults, and we even justify them. Then, as a result, we tend instead to criticize other people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pardon me, as we're hearing over and over, emphasizes that we should not offend Vaishnavas. And when we do so spontaneously and consistently, our sadhana becomes affected by this. So I was thinking that he is saying that we should not do this, we should not offend others, we should not see faults in others, but it's our second nature. Sometimes it's our service, that's a different thing, but it's also our nature to do that. So it's very, very difficult. So as Indra offended all the Vrajavasis in his mood of madness, he became like mad. So we also can become careless and warrant the same kind of chastisement from Krishna on our own level. If our sadhana was free of these things, then we would become very quickly elevated. So then, let me share also a couple of thoughts that I had this morning when thinking of coming here to Surabhi Kund. This is very sobering, but I think that nevertheless it's important for us, because I think we need to go to a very deep level of thought before we can bow down here and actually ask Surabhi Devi with the same strength that Indra needed her help to please, please, please ask Krishna to help us. So I want to speak something about something that came to my mind and just prior to coming here when I was in Germany. And I was very much involved in trying to find some treatment for my friend Suchirani. And I had some chance to observe something very closely, that we don't all necessarily have an opportunity to observe, and that was somebody who is very likely to be nearing death, and it's a very, very difficult thing. It is practically speaking the most difficult thing, because everything that we have and call ourselves and call ours and we're proud of, we're attached to, we think is clever about ourselves, we think is deep or penetrating about ourselves, every part of it, if it's something related to this material world, and practically speaking, for us all, practically every part of it is, because it's our false ego, all of that is going to fail us at the time of death in a terrifying way. Because whatever it is, we have to leave it here. We can't take it with us. If we want to die, just to die and leave this world, without an aspiration that we should somehow or another try to attain to the lotus feet of Krishna, then that's one thing. But if we actually want to leave this world focused upon wishing or trying or aspiring not to come back, then we should note that Srila Prabhupada said that the attachment to one sweet ball is enough to bring us back here to the material world. This is the plane on which one tries to enjoy with oneself in the center. So the necessity, the greatest necessity for every single one of us here, is the necessity of full surrender to Krishna. And it's very sobering, because this is not a very easy thing to achieve. I realized, or I reflected on in that difficult situation, knowing that more difficulty was ahead, that nothing of this world can go to Vrindavan, can go there to the spiritual world. And hence, if I cannot see that my position is as a soul in the material world, and as such, I am so much dependent on Krishna, completely dependent and completely helpless. If I cannot see that, and we should all ask ourselves if we can, and if we can't, my understanding was for myself that this is the aspect of false pride that Indra became very much guilty of. So we can pray with great feeling, if we want, to be able to recollect a state of freedom from such a mood of pride, the intoxication of false pride, and beg somehow with all our might that we can become actually deeply advanced and faithful and very much dependent on Krishna and his devotees. Srila Prabhupada was so highly qualified, and yet he spoke always very feelingly that I am just like a puppet. Just make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you want. He was simply begging for Krishna's mercy. So we can pray to Surabhi Devi that please, please uproot this arrogant impersonalism that gives me the sense of being complete and competent without fully depending upon Krishna. And please, please allow me to serve in a really deepening mood of service to the Vaishnavas and to you. So this was one thing that I was thinking this morning. And then my last thought before, I think it would be very nice, as we have in previous years done, that we could each sit for a few moments here, place our head on our head some water from Surabhi Kund, and offer our personal prayers, because Krishna consciousness requires this, that we develop a personal sense of what we require to be given to us for our own spiritual advancement. But before we do that, I was hoping that I could suggest that one in our group, as we know who is not present here, is Suchi. So after... after we had offered prayers for our own advancement, I was thinking that perhaps we should take some time and we should pray to Surabhi Devi on her behalf. That we should pray to Surabhi Devi by the side of Giriraj under his shelter, that she might be able to receive the mercy of Govinda, who is the master of the cows, and that he might look after her as he did the residents of Braj, and give her shelter and protection while the violent storms of disease and death rage around, and keep her happily within the shade of Giriraj Govardhan, and that may he also please destroy the pride of her and our Indra-like false egos with his ever sweet and divine mercy, and allow her and ourselves to become free of all the ignorance which binds her and ourselves to materialistic life. So we can pray for ourselves and also for her that we may receive full shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shamasunda, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, and Sri Sri Giri Govardhan. Shri Surabhi Kun ki jai, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. So in a grave but not a despondent mood, we should find the place to sit and we should pray to Surabhi Devi that she can intercede on our behalf, because our situation is grave, but it is not hopeless. It is very, very hopeful, in fact. And especially it is very, very hopeful if we can receive her mercy and she can intercede on our behalf to enhance and to intensify the power of our endeavors in Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much.